Hey guys, just a heads up. This podcast contains adult language and occasionally has adult themes. If you are under the age of 18, you need to click away. No, seriously, if you are a child or someone who's going to be judging me around the dinner table, you need to find another podcast. Thanks. Welcome back to Panda Talks. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Brady.
How was your week?
I don't remember.
Me worked?
I worked, and now I'm just coming off of working, and my brain's kind of fried.
Well, by the time this comes out, we will have had our baby boy.
Holy shoot.
I know, holy crap, it really hit me yesterday. I know I've mentioned that I acknowledge that I haven't processed it, but I don't know. It was just a rough year. I didn't have time to celebrate, I feel, and then yesterday it just really hit me that I'm having a son.
Well, to me, it's like I knew it was coming, but it never really, like, I don't know. It just wasn't, I don't know. It's like it was always there, but then in the last week I started actually picturing life with another kid.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, before I'd be like, yeah, we'll have a baby, we'll do this, blah, 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 blah. But, like, the last couple days, it's been, like, picturing, you know, our kids playing with the baby and being around him and all that stuff. And it's kind of made it more real. But, I don't know, that's just me personally, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I feel, it was a rough year, we didn't have a lot of time to process it. But that's my curse, apparently, because with our second kid, it was also a rough year, but I feel like I had a little bit more time to process her, but I don't know why. I do know with each of these, the last pregnancy and this one, I definitely haven't bonded with the child, mm-hmm. like our oldest. The minute I knew I was pregnant, I was in love. I was bonded, you know. Blame the miscarriage if you want. I don't know, but the last two pregnancies, I didn't bond until our second daughter was literally, like, on me. Yeah, out of the womb and physically on me. And this kid, I am now just accepting I'm gonna have. And that's weird. But anyway, did you have any intrusive thoughts this week? Because I did come prepared with one, but if you have one.
No, I don't have one.
Oh. Okay, I did come prepared with one, but it is going to be me ranting, and I'm probably going to say some stupid shit that is going to piss some people off. And I'm also going to be a giant hypocrite about some things, but it's my opinion, and this is an opinion-based podcast, and I'd like to get your reaction if you dare touch this controversial topic, but, so we had a really weird last day at work. So I'm a massage therapist, for those of you who don't know, if you're new here. And there are people that do not want to get a massage from a male therapist, which I can understand and I can respect, but at the same time, get over it. You know, when I found out, I don't know if you said this on podcast or if it was off podcast, but Brady confided in me after 10 years of marriage that he was not comfortable with a male therapist, so I immediately booked him a massage with a male therapist, because not in my house.
It wasn't that I wasn't comfortable with a male therapist, I was just like, I don't know, I'd never thought about, like, every time I'd picture me getting a massage, it was always me getting a massage by a female. And so then when you're like, oh, massage from a boy, I'm like, that's something that's literally, weirdly enough, never crossed my mind.
Oh, I thought you said you were uncomfortable with it. And that's why I was like, oh, guess what? You're getting Fernando.
No, I got a lot of boys touching me all the time.
Well, I, because, and then, okay, that's a story for a different time, but, we had a couple come in, and, they were originally booked with a female therapist, but that female therapist no longer works with us, and in the haste of trying to get her appointments covered, they just gave, that appointment to the only other therapist on Saturday night who isn't me, and it was my male coworker. And they should have called and said, just so you know, we need to reschedule you. Is it going to be okay with the male? I am guessing they did not do that. That is their fault. But, you know, things happen. Like I said, they had to find, I don't know, you know, how many appointments needed to be switched over because she quit. So, not, so that happened, we'll acknowledge it, but I'm not trying to point fingers or blame, but, so what was odd about this was not only was she uncomfortable with a male therapist, which is a couple's massage, which, if you don't know, in the same room, there's two beds, one is my bed, one is his bed, and we specifically say before we step out, this will be my bed, this will be his bed, pick your therapist. We're cool either way. He understands not everyone wants his hand, like, does not everyone wants a male. And he understands that. And him and I have both worked on the gentleman out of these couples. So he knew, like, he was comfortable with my coworker. And he had come to me more, but, you know, anyway. She was uncomfortable with the male therapist, but rather than getting on my table, she was uncomfortable with him in the same room. And we tried to offer up, would you like to do it in separate rooms? And then she could be with me and he could be with him and there's not even another man there. But she was uncomfortable with that. And again, I don't know her life story. I don't know if anything bad or traumatic happened to her. And I'm really sorry if it did, but at what point do you let your abuser or your traumas rule your life? To the point where you can't even get a massage. You know, and this is where it's controversial because I you know, I don't want to be like, oh, just get the hell over it. But at the same time, I kind of am. Mm-hmm. Just, and like coming from personal experience, I have a cousin. He's, I feel like I brought this up before, but I have a cousin. He's not doing so great in life. Whenever I bring this up to my mom about.
Oh, shit.
That scared the absolute fuck out of me. My purse just fell. All is well. Moving right along. Professionalism. Yeah, whenever I bring up, oh, this cousin's a POS, my mom comes to his defense. He had a rough childhood. His mom wasn't nice to him. So he gets, a, like, be nice to him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I understand, but, like, and I don't want to say I had a rough childhood because I hate when I say that, but I didn't have a great childhood. I had a weird one. And at what point do you just lay down and say, I can't do anything because my childhood was so traumatic? And at what point, because just to compare me and my cousin, who's like homeless and like has addiction problems and just not doing great in life. And then there's me that even though I wanted to drop out of high school, I wanted to say fuck you to my abuser and graduate because he didn't, you know, like continuing my education, even though I did, like, I wanted to do college just so I could, to spite my abuser, just to say I'm better than you, you know, like at what point, cause I like I get it. Like I have PTSD about spending a night in the house alone. So it's hard for me to sleep with you working graveyards. But, like, at what point do I, like, let my abuser win and can't sleep ever again? And at what point do I, like, not let him win, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the controversial topic. I don't know if you want to touch on that or not. I don't want to tell everyone to just get over their trauma and their abuse, but I guess that's my intrusive thought, is at what point do you let your abuser win? And at what point do you thrive just despite them? Like, where's that balance?
Yeah, I don't know. It's,
don't want to touch it because we're going to piss people off with that?
Well, I just think it's kind of weird. Like, I understand, like, if... how do I say this? Like, I would understand if you're like, well, I don't want men touching me because I had a bad experience or whatever, but, like, the fact that you're in the same room, like, what, I just want to know what makes it different if, like, if I was uncomfortable with, like, a girl touching me and then a girl touching you, like, I don't know, I guess it's, that's what's weirding me out, is the fact that she's like, well, even if we go in separate rooms, I don't want him to touch you. You know, it's like, what's going to happen? Is all of a sudden all of his gay hormones are going to come alive because a guy's giving him a massage? And he's gonna be like, I never knew that my whole life I was gay. Like, you know, it's just kind of, it's kind of a weird thought.
Well, I wonder how much of hers, she was also disappointed that her therapist that she liked was no longer there. Because, like I said, my coworker has worked on the gentleman before. So, like, he knew what he was getting into. So, like I said, it was very odd. But then I did bring up to my male coworker about, I was like, yeah, my husband told me he was uncomfortable with the male therapist. I booked him with the male therapist because my thought is, like, if you're going to get molested, if that's your fear, I could molest you just as easily as he could. And then we just made the joke that I'm like, heck, I don't want to say my coworker's name. That's a good nickname for him. I don't know. Brad. We'll call him Brad to protect the innocent. But I was like, yeah, Brad can give you a hand job just as good as me. And then Brad was like, I could probably give you a better one because I have had more experience with one. I was like, exactly. So you'd want the male therapist if you're a guy, but I mean, I shouldn't joke about my occupation like that, but anyway.
Well, it's like being a male, I'm like, same thing, kind of where you're coming from. I'm like, yeah, I would assume that I would be more uncomfortable, like, having a guy rubbing on you. Like, oh, maybe he's better. Like, I know he's better because he went to massage school, so he knows how to, you know, give you a proper massage. But I'm like, if that was her fear, but then I'm like, it's the opposite way. Like, why would she be so offended by a man touching her man? Even if, like, if it was this fact, like, I don't want to be in a room naked with a man who's not my husband, I'd be like, okay, I can understand that, whatever. But at the same time, I'm like, well, why would it be bad if you were in a different room and then your husband's getting a massage from this guy? Like, why is that unacceptable? Like, I just want to know what was the unacceptable bit? That her massage therapist wasn't there, or the fact that she just was offended that they were trying to give them a boy? I don't know. I guess that's what I want to know, is like, what was the breakdown? What was the thing that was so offensive?
Well, and in the massage world, we usually just chalk it up to they must have had a bad experience with a man to make him uncomfortable. Because that's why we try to come at it understanding. And that's, like you said, I don't know. I probably offended everyone. I'm not trying to tell everyone, get over your traumas and your triggers, because obviously I have some that are hard to get over. I don't sleep well at night. But I also have that personality that I don't want to let other people get the best of me, or, you know, and everyone's different. And so I'm really sorry. I'm not trying to offend anyone. Everyone's struggles are different. But that is just my intrusive thought, is at what point do you let the abusers win? And at what point do you, like, I don't know. It's a controversial topic, and yeah, that's my opinion. And I don't know. Is anyone still listening? Are they gone after that? They're like, fuck you, bitch.
Yeah, I got a text. Everybody left.
Everybody left. McCade's over it. I got to shout out other listeners. But I don't know. McCade was our first, so I just feel like I always owe him a shout out. I don't know if he listens anymore. Well, if you stuck around, today's episode's going to be about a book review. So it's going to be mostly me talking. Brady's not read it. It's going to be me trying to convince him and all you listeners to pick up this book, because it's a really good book. I'll tell you right now, five out of five stars. And if you're new here, I'll explain my rating system at the end. But, are you ready to jump into this, Brady?
Yep.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so, the book is called Cersei, which I knew nothing about.
Spell it.
Dude, I don't know. It's fucking Greek.
Because when I read it, I'm like, I would not have pronounced this Cersei.
C-I-R-C-E.
Yeah, I would have thought like Cerse. Cerse.
Well, because I associate it with Cersei Lannister.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, I had a client. Have a client. I'll see him again. Don't get emotional. I have a client that recommended it to me, and he said, read it after you give birth, because it's the book's like a lot about what you're going through. So I assumed this book was about me having a son, you know? And then as I start reading it, it is about the Greek goddess Asterisk, we'll come back to that. The Greek goddess Cersei, which I didn't know about her. I really love Greek mythology, but I'm not very well versed in it, but I find it fascinating. But, so Cersei was I'm not really sure. Like, she is the daughter of Helios, who, the book was kind of confusing. And like I said, I'm not too well versed in, Greek mythology, but he is the son of Titans, but he's known as a god rather than a Titan. The book didn't make that clear. And some water nymph. I don't remember her name. But so Cersei kind of introduced herself as a nymph. But then mortals would refer to her as a goddess. But then she's also the daughter of a Titan. So it gets kind of confusing. So I'm just going to refer to her as the goddess Cersei. And Cersei was, because she's the daughter of a nymph, had no powers like her dad. She finds out that she is a sorceress or a witch. And so when I started reading it, I was like, oh, he recommended it to me because he comes in with his wife and my good friend and co-worker who is coming out of the broom closet also made me come out of the broom closet to these very LDS people on my table. Both have served missions and love the Lord and all that. But, so I was afraid it'd scare them away, but they're still cool. We're still friends. So when I was reading it and it was about her being a witch, I was like, oh, he recommended it to me because it's about witchcraft. I thought he recommended it to me because it was about me giving birth. So it kind of follows the life of Cersei. So I don't want to get too into that because that's what the book's about. So pick it up and read it. But eventually, spoiler alert, she does give birth. She does get pregnant with a son and gives birth to him. And so yeah, that part did play to me as well. So I'm like, oh, this is what he's talking about. And then when I brought it up to him on Friday, our last appointment together, I was like, I assume you meant wanted me to read that because I was giving birth, but now I see you did it because of witchcraft. And he's like, both, all of it. It just reminded me of you. And he was so excited that I read it. And, but yeah, Cersei, like I said, I don't want to get too much into her story. I don't know how well it ties into, like, the actual Greek mythology. But it was such a good read. I was really, I had a love-hate relationship with Cersei because at first she's so naive. And, like, it is refreshing to see a goddess as humble as she is and how she, like, likes mortals and empathizes, I don't know. She has feelings for them. Like, she doesn't wish ill on them. And that's refreshing to see in a goddess, but she's so naive and thinks the best of everyone. But if we know anything about Greek mythology, the gods are just out to screw you over. And what I really like is what Hermes says to her. Because she's like, why are all gods dicks? And Hermes is like, well, who's going to worship you more? A man who's struggling a lot in life or a man who's happy? And she's like, the man that's happy. And he's like, no, because the man who's happy will still worship you. But the man who's like, if you cripple his kids and dry up his crops and kill his wife, he's going to save up all the money he has to get you the best sacrifice he can give you. And whereas the happy man, the wealthy man, just will just give you whatever because he doesn't have to work for it. And so they kind of paint like, so the gods will purposely fuck with you just so you worship them more. And yeah, I don't know. I really like that Hermes said that because I feel like we glorify the Greek gods so much, you know, and really it's like, no, they were assholes. They were all assholes. So do you have anything to input so far? I know I'm just rambling.
No.
It's true panda talks tonight. But, so she's really naive in the first half of the book, and it's, like, kind of annoying, but, like, she is a goddess that is racked with, like, guilt for the things she's done that were wrong. It kind of, she says she has three siblings. I looked up how many kids Helios has, and he's got way more than four kids. So I don't know if these were just the three that came from the nymph. River nymph. I think she's a river. She's water nymph. But yeah, later on in the book, she really, I don't know, especially if you're into like feminism, not the toxic kind, but like she stands up for herself and decides to take her fate into her own hands. And it's really inspiring and like, I don't know. It's just, it's like a real refreshing read, I'd say, coming off from the normal, like, oh, Zeus just, like, going around, just putting his dick in everything and making gods and demigods, and Hera's trying to kill half his kids because she's jealous of them, you know, like, to have someone that actually wants to help the mortals and help herself, and, yeah, and I remember reading Odysseus, or the Odyssey in high school, but I remember reading, like, I don't know if we just read chapters. I don't think we read the whole book. But apparently she's in the Tale of Odysseus, so that was pretty fun. Like, if to have that familiarity of, like, he came to the island she was on, and then he was like, oh, yeah, we were in a cave with a giant cyclops, and I had to poke his eye out so we could escape. And I was like, oh my gosh, I remember that tale. That's so exciting. And like, you know, and she's the sorceress that turned his men into swine. And I don't recall that in the book, but it was pretty fun. So, yeah, that's basically, like I said, it's basically her life story from her birth to her ending, which I will not give away. And like I said, it was just such a good book. 5 out of 5 stars for those who want to know what my rating system is. Basically, I either love a book or I hate a book. Or it's a in between. So I guess I work more on a 3-star system, but 3 just doesn't feel like a good enough number. But this is definitely like, I love it. I will definitely be buying the physical copy. I'll probably be rereading it. I'm buying my mom a physical copy because I think she'd enjoy it. But it was a really good book. I listened to it on Audible. And the woman that did the narration was just so good. Just had like such a hypnotic voice and like, I don't know. My coworker who also works with, you know, that made me come out of the broom closet to our clients. She bought the physical copy. She is to the part where Odysseus is getting to the island. And she's like, is it this slow the whole time? And I'm like, I didn't think it was slow, but I also feel for her because she's reading the physical copy. And let's be honest, Greek names, they're fucking, they suck. Like her one brother that she's close to, I couldn't even find it on this list, but it was like Iclius, I think. Iacles. It basically means eagle. Oh, and Circe means hawk in Greek. So she was named that because she had like a sharp face, yellow eyes, and a shrill voice. All the gods make her sound like she's this like really like ugly and sounds ugly woman, but then all the mortals are like, oh, you're so beautiful and you like sound beautiful, you know. But yeah, her other two siblings that they mention in the book are Pasiphae and it's close. Perseus, Pasiphae, and then the river. So her mom, who's the...
Is it Perseus or Perseus?
Perseus. It's not... Talk about this? Yeah, they talk about... they do... No, no. Oh, shit. What's his name? They talk about him at the beginning of the book. The god that stole fire for the world. Prometheus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not Perseus. It's Perseus. And then there's Pasiphae. Like, they're so close with each other. And, like, it's just... It's so... So I really feel for her. I think maybe it was slow because she, half the time, she's probably trying to pronounce the GD names. Because I even remember when I started reading Lore Olympus, I could not pronounce Persephone because it is spelled so weird. And I'd be like, how do you say this? Like, I remember asking you multiple times, how do you say this? And you're like, Persephone. And I just...
Could yeah, it looks like Persephone or something.
Or even like a Fee. Like, I don't know. I remember like wanting to call her Phoebe the first half of the book, just for short. But yeah, so she's having a rough time reading it. So I do recommend if you do this, I would start with an Audible copy. Just so someone else can get through the bullshit made up names for you. So you don't have to. And, but yeah, I was under the impression that it would be like a love story. And I, like, there's romance in it. Like, she falls in love, but it's not the center. Like, it's peppered in there. Like, it's not really heavy. Cause I thought that's why Brady wouldn't read it. Cause he didn't want to read a romance novel. And there's not like there's talk about sex in there, but it's nothing graphic. Like it just we laid together, like is about as detailed as it gets. And I mean, what do I expect? It came recommended to me from, you know, a good LDS man. I know I shouldn't judge him just because he's LDS, but like, you know, it does have a prequel, The Song of Achilles. And my friend brought that up. Should I read this book? And he's like, I tried, but I was uncomfortable with the subject matter. And it's because Achilles had a male lover. And, like, that was too much for him. But I might read it. I'm intrigued. If it's anything like Cersei's, it'll be freaking amazing. But, so yeah, 5 on 5 for me. 100% recommend. I feel like I want to talk more in depth about the book, but like I said, because the book is about her life, I don't want to give too much away. So definitely read it, especially if you're into Greek mythos. I mean, like, if I could just, without giving too much away, I hope it's not too much spoilers, but like, it talks about the Minotaur or the Minotaur, however you want to pronounce it. Mm-hmm. I prefer Minotaur just because of, it's a freaking movie I want to watch now.
Role Models.
Role Models. Oh my gosh. I was having so much fun with that part. I mean, it's kind of, we'll get into it. We'll get into it. But, yeah, just thinking of that scene the whole time. Doth my eyes deceive me? A Minotaur. Oh, it's so great. And then they have, shit, I forgot her name. One of the sea monsters you do run into in Odysseus. But it's the serpent with 6 heads and 7 feet, or and 12 feet. What is, it starts with an S, or at least a sound. Do you know which monster I'm talking about?
No.
Oh.
I was thinking the Hydra after you said.
It's the, not the Hydra.
The
but
bunch of heads.
No, it's, I can't remember. Kid Icarus. I don't know if Kid Icarus is his name. Icarus is in it. That one's pretty sad. It talks about Prometheus, and then they talk about his punishment of, you know, getting his liver torn out every day. Just freaking brutal. Yeah, it's great. 10 on 10. Recommend. I would like to just apologize if I'm really breathy and wheezy. As of recording this, I'm still pregnant, so not much I can do about that. Anyway, Brady, are you even remotely interested in reading this book now? Be honest.
I never really thought about reading it. It seems kind of like a woman's book.
Just because it's a female protagonist?
I don't know. I just, like, I never knew anything about it. You kind of talked about it, but I was like, I don't know, maybe, like,
I thought you liked Greek mythology. That's what, like, made us bond at the start of our relationship.
No, that was anime.
And Greek mythos.
I don't know. It's just, like, I haven't been in the mood. Sorry, I got a yawn. I haven't been in the mood for books lately.
Okay.
Like, well, I don't know why. Except, apart from that. Howl's Moving Castle. I was like, I wouldn't mind reading that book, but
yeah, I'm excited about that one. Oh shit. I was gonna pick out another book to read. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll pause it. But anyway, since I couldn't I can't think. Gosh damn, I have such bad pregnancy brain.
And then I have freaking work brain, so it's kind of...
Well, I appreciate you doing this with me tonight. Because I couldn't talk too much about Cersei without giving away the whole story, I thought it'd be fun if we kind of just looked at other Greek mythos, you know? Mm-hmm. Because the biggest question that I had was, is this, like, how accurate is this to, like, original Greek mythology, and how much of it is, like, the author just took this idea of Cersei and then just, like, kind of made up her own story about her, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I just remembered a point I wanted to talk about, and I'm wondering if I bring it up now or if I just move on. I'll just move on. So, first of all, I wanted to know, because they emphasize that Helios is a Titan. And so, like, Zeus, so for those of you who don't know the story, my gosh, how Kronos. The world was ran by Titans, and Kronos was, like, the king of the Titans. He had a wife. I should know her name because she's important. And they'd have, she had like seven kids. And he would take the babes and eat them because there was a prophecy that one of his sons would overthrow him. So heartbroken, this woman one time gives him a stone to swallow and tells him it's her baby, and then smuggles Zeus and raises him, and he eventually rises up and defeats Kronos and gets like all his siblings out of his stomach. And then there's a battle between the gods and the Titans. So according to this book, Helios was a Titan that just said, "Yep, you win, I'll serve you as king." And so there's kind of this tension between Helios and the other Titans that bowed down and the gods, and you don't actually like get much interaction between Zeus, but like it does play a big part in like what happens in the book and like how Cersei's treated and like how her siblings are treated and things like that. So that's where I was first confused because I always thought Helios was a god. I didn't, So I just pulled up his Wikipedia page and it says, and I've lost it. Freaking course I did. He's described as the son of the Titan Hyperion and Thea, and the brother of the goddess Selene, the moon, and Eos, the dawn. So that isn't, so it says he's the son of two Titans, but the start of this is that in ancient Greek religion and mythology, Helios is the god and personification of the sun. So I'm just gonna go with his official title is a god, but it does say that he has Titan parents that are not Kronos. And I should know but that girl's name, but she was immortal, I'm pretty sure. Hyperion is a Titan. Hyperion means he that walks on high or simply the god above. Often joined with Helios, there's a possible, wait, that's important. She's talking about his name. There are no myths or functions for him, so he's just known as like, he doesn't even have a title. He was just a Titan. Thea, I think it's Thea, Theia. Would you say that is Thea?
Yeah.
She's one of the 12 Titans, the children of the earth goddess Gaia and the sky god Uranus, or Uranus, however you want to say it. I prefer Eurectum. She's the Greek goddess of sight and by extension the goddess who endowed gold, silver, and gems with her brilliance and value. So, again, it's not clear. So I'm wondering where does the line blur between Titan and God? Because this says she's Titan, but then immediately says she's a Greek goddess. So, I don't know. It's kind of confusing. But anyways, so in the Odyssey, it's one of the last trials that Odysseus has to go through with his men, or they have to stop by this island where Helios keeps his most prized possessions, and they're white cows, just these pure white cows. And in the Odyssey, well, I don't know if Cersei warns him in the Odyssey, but in Cersei, the book, she warns him that, like, you're gonna have to go by this island. Don't even stop there. Do not look at my dad's cows because he will fucking kill you because he loves these things more than anything. And the gods and fates will tempt you to, and if you harm one of them, like, you'll be sorry, so don't even stop on the island. Well, because Athena's a bitch. I always thought she was a cool goddess until, like, reading Circe's and then remembering, like, all the shit she did to Odysseus in the Odyssey. Athena kind of forces him to stop, like, you know, through nature or whatever. On this island where they're stuck there for days because of a storm. Classic Odysseus, because this has happened to him, you know, before. He stays up watching his men, making sure they don't touch the cows. Finally, after, I think, 9 days or something, he falls asleep. And his guys go and slaughter some cows and eat them. Helios gets pissed and asks Zeus, can you strike them with thunder? Can you smite them for me? Because they ruined my prize cows. And Zeus is like, yeah, man. And shoots lightning at him, and everyone dies except for Odysseus, because he's the only one that didn't eat a cow, and he's the only survivor. But if you've read Odysseus, then you know that. What's funny about the sacred cattle, and I wanted to look this up, and I should have done it beforehand. But Helios... so he had these white cows in the book, and Persephone and what did I say the other guy's name was? Perses. They're little assholes. I hate them. But basically, her brother and sister make fun of the dad, and they're like, he fucks his cows, and Circe, who just loves her dad and idolizes him, is just like, no, he doesn't. And they're like, yeah, he turns into a white bull and he has sex with them. And then that's really funny, because, and again, I wanted to look this up and, like, make sure it was accurate and not just, part of the book, is later her sister Persephone, who ends up marrying, Minos, the king of Crete, she gives birth to the Minotaur because one of her wedding gifts from her father is a pure white bull. And she ends up having sex with it. So, thus giving birth to the monster, the Minotaur, which is the half bull, half man that they end up locking in a maze. And so he guards the center of the maze and basically kills people. Yeah, so I don't know. I just thought that was funny irony that they're making fun of the dad for bestiality, and then she's no better than her father. did you know all that? I feel like the Minotaur is up your alley. You knew.
I knew of the Minotaur, but I didn't know that was, like, the origin.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's really common in Greek mythology, like, bestiality and giving birth to monsters. But, like I said, yeah, anyways, do you have any questions? Do you have any, like, Greek gods or anything you want me to look up? Any legends?
No, I was gonna say, I can't remember which one, but they did go into that, the whole Kronos story on one of the God of Wars. They had, like, a whole thing about it. But they went into a lot of it. I mean, yeah, a lot of it wasn't accurate, but a lot of it was. Like, the Prometheus on the hilltop having to get eaten every day by a bird, and then every night he would heal, and then every morning the bird would come back and eat him over and over, and it kind of went into the Titans, and I think it, I can't remember, I just remember they had it where it was like, yeah, the mom switched out him for a stone, and he was, yeah, keeping all the kids prisoner in his stomach, and then you're like, well, wouldn't you realize you're eating a stone and not a kid? Then you're like, oh yeah, they're freaking gigantic, and he would just, like, grab a handful and then just eat it.
You would think that, like, because how does sex like that work? You know, so you'd have to, like, it'd be like Ponyo, and how her mom's like this huge thing, but then she like shrinks down to Fujimoto's size. So I'd imagine that he'd have to shrink, right? Because like, how else would that work?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Greek mythology is weird, but I love it. It's so fun. It's so fascinating. So I always thought that, and I'm gonna say it both ways, just because I like the original way, but I understand I probably sound like an asshole when I say it. So Hercules or Heracles, mm-hmm. I always thought he was the one that defeated the Minotaur. Just because I thought that was because, you know, the story of Hercules is he had these, how many tasks did he have? Was it 7 or was it more?
I can't remember. I thought it was like 11.
Maybe it was 11. He had the trials of Heracles is really,
his labors. God.
Yeah, the labors of Heracles. And it's, be careful where you read or listen to it because it's pretty fucking graphic and scarred me for life. But one of his trials, I thought, was to defeat the Minotaur. But then listening in the book, they said it was Theseus who defeated it. And so I did have to Google search it. And yes, Theseus was the man who defeated the Minotaur. But I thought it was Heracles. I do know one of his tasks was he had to, I don't know if this was in Crete or if he had to go to another kingdom to do it, but there's like, maybe I should look up the trials of Heracles and we should look up that. But, yeah, there's something like, there was a stable full of cows and he had to like clean them all out, all the shit out of the stables before sundown. Does that ring a bell?
Mm-mm.
No? What do you remember about the trials of Heracles? Not or labor, much. Labors. Is it labors or trials?
I want to say he had to kill, I can't remember if it was like a mythical creature, but I remember it was something with like the head of a lion, so I can't remember if it was a lion or if it was like, I don't, what's the,
I feel like there are several monsters. Oh, the 12 labors of Heracles. Let's see what we can find. Go on.
But, yeah, he had to, like, kill mythical creatures because he killed his family.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, well, graphic.
Hera tricked him into it.
So this,
because Hera hated him.
Yeah. That's another, we could do a whole episode on Heracles if you wanted. I feel like he's kind of overplayed. But, so, there are 12 to make up for killing for his family. So, very close to God of War. He had 12 labors. One, the slaying of the Naaman lion, whose skin he thereafter wore. 2, the slaying of the nine-headed Hydra of Lyrna. And I'm probably saying these wrong, but I'm American. 3, the capture of elusive hind of Arcan. I don't know what the hell that is.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a link? Elusive. Oh, capture of the elusive hind, or stage of Arcadia. I don't know what that is, though. The capture of the wild boar. It is funny, because listening to the book, I listened to it on a podcast, the story of him. And then going back and watching the Disney version, the Zero to Hero song, he does, like, literally all these trials. But, you know, you just see it in a flashy montage. The cleansing in a single day of the cattle stables of King Aegeus of Elis, the shooting of the monstrous man-eating bird of the it's a Pokemon episode all over again. Stymphalian marshes, the capture of the mad bull that terrorized the island of Crete. Okay, so maybe that's where I thought it was the Minotaur. because he had to capture a bull. The capture of the man-eating mares of King Dominatus of the Bistones. The taking of the griddle of Hippolyte, queen of the Amazons. Hippolyte, Hippolyte. Mm-hmm. You chuckle, but that's not an answer.
We'll say Hippolyta.
Oh, that's why it was a chuckle, because you knew I was just...
I have no idea if that was it. That's just Wonder Woman's mom.
Okay. Hippolyta. Yeah, that makes sense. That looks right. The seizing of the cattle of the three-bodied giant who ruled the island, Erythia, meaning red. E-R-Y-T-H-E-I-A. Erythia?
Yeah, that's probably right.
All right, I got two more to butcher my way through. Gosh, I hate reading. I'm so not educated. The bringing back of the golden apples kept at the world's end. And the fetching up from the underworld of the triple-headed dog Cerberus. That's a name I can at least pronounce, because who hasn't freaking heard of Cerberus? Yeah. Those are his 12 labors.
Well done.
This is literally just a tangent. This is just going off in random circles, isn't it?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Should we scrap the podcast? Scrap the episode?
No. 50 minutes in, and you want to... Yeah, let's just...
Well, I don't know. I'm worried about the first part with the accusing people. Gosh. And
just don't. Just stop.
All right. What other Greek god or labor, what do you want to... Should we learn about?
Well, I just think it's funny that on God of War, you rip off Helios's head and use it as a flashlight for the rest of the game.
Oh yeah, that's fun. And he is voiced by Crispin Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
Who was your least used to be your favorite voice actor.
I was... So the dude that voiced Kratos in those games was... I think his name's T.C. Carson or something like that. And then they changed him for the new God of War games. Like, I get it. I think it's a different studio. I'm like 90% sure it's a different studio. But I'm like, man, why? I don't know. I just think it's funny that they got rid of that guy. Like, he was perfect. I liked his Kratos voice. I thought it was really good.
I remember watching a behind the scenes, but I don't know which voice actor it was, but he was a really handsome man. And that's all I have to say about that.
About what?
The voice actor for Kratos.
I know the dude that plays Kratos in the old ones gets killed in Final Destination 2.
Yeah, I don't really know much about him.
But, I don't know.
Percy, I think is, Cersei's mom's name. Let's see how to pronounce it. There's no pronunciation.
What?
P-E-R-S-E. Percy. Daughter of the Titus Oceanus. One of the wives of the sun god Helios. Oh, here's a fun fact I learned. I should probably look this up because I don't remember. Hey, they just did... I just found a tree chart of Perseus, but not important. I was listening to Time Suck with Dan Cummins, and he did it on Atlantis. According to Plato, I can't remember the woman's name, but some guy was like had one daughter, and Poseidon fell in love with her, and he ended up having sex with her, and Atlantis was born from the result of them having sex.
Hmm.
Not like she birthed it. I don't understand. Like, he came so hard an island was born?
I don't know.
I'm guessing that was it, that's what Dan said. And maybe I should look this up myself, but that's what Dan said was after they had sex and Atlantis was born. And then they had five sets of twins, and each the first son's name was Atlantis, so they named the island after him. The oldest of the twins, because you know. And then they like divided it into however many, or was it six sets of twins? They divided it and then each ruled a section. And anyways, it was interesting, but I thought that was funny that the sex was so good and Island was born. But all right, well, my favorite so I'm really into Sailor Caesar right now because, like I said, it was really inspiring to see a Greek god who, like, she didn't even like when people bowed to her or called her goddess. She didn't like to be worshipped. And the ending of her story is so amazing. But my favorite tale right now is I'm reading a webcomic called Lore Olympus, and it's about the love story between Hades and Persephone. And this is totally 1000% not accurate. I mean, you go to, like, in the mortal realm, it's like the Greek time. They're wearing like togas and walking around barefoot and with horses and whatever. But then you go to Olympus or the underworld and it's all like modern. Like, Hades is a businessman in a suit and. But it's such a cute love story. Yeah, so that's like it definitely did get me like thinking, because how does the goddess of spring end up being queen of the underworld? You know? So those are like probably the other two. I mean, like I said, Circe's is like my new favorite right now, having read the book, but before it was about Persephone, also called Cor. She's the daughter of Zeus and Demeter. And so, you know, technically that makes Hades her uncle, but like I said, everything, like, freaking Zeus has sex with his daughters in Greek mythology. Like, everyone's related to everyone, but it's not weird. For some reason, in the webtoon I'm reading, she's just Demeter's daughter, has no dad. Even though they're like, there's only five gods at the beginning because that's all there was, you know? It's like they all obviously have to come from somewhere. She becomes queen of the underworld after her abduction by Hades, the god of the underworld, with the approval of Zeus, her father slash uncle. And brother-in-law after her marriage to Hades. The myth of her abduction in the underworld and her temporary return to the surface represents her functions as the embodiment of spring and the personification of vegetation, especially green crops, which disappear into the earth once snow sprouts from the earth in spring and the harvest when fully grown. Persephone is portrayed robed, often carrying a sheaf of grain. She may appear as a mythical divinity with a scythe and a little box, but she was mostly represented in the process of being carried off by Hades. But like, I think that's what's cool about Greek mythology, because this is people's way of explaining the earth and like how it works. So like, what makes the sun go across the sky? Well, Helios in his chariot is pulling the sun across the sky, you know? And then at night, it's his sister Selene pulling the moon across the sky in her chariot. And like, how do you explain, like, why winter everything dies? Well, it's Persephone going back to the underworld to be with Hades. Like, she only comes up for spring, you know? Get everything like good and harvest, and then she's gone back to the underworld. And so, like, just that representation of, you know, most people view winter as the end of the cycle, death is an end of a cycle, you die, you go to the underworld. Like, it's just really fascinating, and that's why I love Greek mythology.
Yeah, it's very interesting and usually pretty brutal.
So who are your favorite gods and or goddesses?
I have no idea. I like different, because it's like I like, you kind of love slash hate them, you know, because a lot of them are kind of like double, you know, they're cool, but they're shitty people. I've always thought Poseidon was pretty cool with all the water stuff. And I like Hades. Like, I like the Disney's Hercules type of Hades, but at the same time, I like the Hades from, like, God of War, where he's just, like, wearing armor and doesn't really talk much, and he's just kind of, you know, there to do his job. And it's kind of like, yeah, like, it sucks because I can't remember why he got put down there, but he doesn't, I don't think he really likes his job, but he's good at it. He does it, you know. So I don't know. I like them. I like what's his name? The dude with the winged shoes.
Hermes.
Yeah. I like the idea of him. I don't know much about him, but
He's the messenger of the gods. They normally portray him as like Zeus's messenger, which he was, but he also would lead souls to the underworld. There's another god of death that did that as well, but that was one of Hermes's jobs. It's really bringing, speaking of Poseidon, it's really interesting when you look at Greek mythology through the lens of, like, how do I put this? Like, women? Like, just through another way. Because the stories of the Gorgon, what's her name? Medusa. She was raped by Poseidon, ran to, I believe, Athena's temple, and according to legend, Athena cursed her to be a Gorgon, and when men looked at her, they turned to stone. But someone pointed out online that was it a curse? She was raped by Poseidon, and now she was like made to never be hurt by a man again. And I don't know. I thought that was a cool like spin on it. Like everyone viewed it as a curse, but someone's like, well, what if it wasn't a curse? What if this was Athena's way of
Yeah.
Like, hey, now you'll never be hurt again. And maybe going back to my little awkward, I probably pissed people off at the beginning, like, hey, now you can hurt men, but they do not have the capacity to hurt you, you know? Just another way to look at it. I mean, I know with Artemis, like they're like, you know, the freaking, what are their names? The goat men.
Like satyrs.
Satyrs. Satyrs would like just rape nymphs. They're just rapey little devils. And there would be times when Artemis, to protect the nymphs, would turn them into a tree or a flower or a river. And like, it's like, hey, you'll never be raped now, but you're also like eternally a tree. You know. Anyways, any final thoughts on Circe or any Greek god, goddess before we wrap it up?
No, I mean, if I ever get back into reading books, I'll probably read this book, but I don't know when that'll be, when I have more free time, I guess.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Yeah, technically.
All right. You have a funny story to play us out with?
I don't know.
Nothing funny happen?
Not that I can think of.
Well, I again came prepared with one.
Nice.
So this Sunday, my coworkers threw me and two other pregnant coworkers a baby shower. And I took my kids with me because Brady needed to sleep because he had just gotten off work. And, like, I told my oldest we're going to a baby shower. I didn't really explain to the middle kid because she's 2 and a half. I didn't think she'd understand. But anyway, I needed to use the restroom. And naturally, my kids followed me in there. We do have a shower and locker room in, you know, the bathroom, just because we have a sensory deprivation tank. We have a sauna, and sometimes people want to come and they want to, like, have a spa day and just be in a robe, you know. So we have a place for them to put their things, shower off after the sauna and the salt tank, you know. So I'm washing my hands. I'm helping my oldest wash her hands, and my baby's just kind of exploring the bathroom, and she goes into the shower area and goes, "Look, there's a shower in here. We found the baby shower. Yay!" And I just thought that was cute. I didn't know she heard me say it's a baby shower, and by God, she took it literally. So that's my funny story. That's what made me smile this week.
Well, that was a good one. It made me laugh too when you told me.
She's been saying some funny things lately.
Oh, yeah, she does.
But, all right. Well, thanks for... I feel like that was just me the whole time.
It's okay. I've had a couple of those.
You have. Thank you for stepping up for me. I've been Panda.
And I've been Brady.
Oh, that reminds me. Don't go anywhere. So, trying to get back into this, I would still love to do a book club, just because it's always been a dream of mine to be part of a book club. So if you are interested in reading along with me, the next book I plan on reading would be The Lost Treasures of the Ozarks. I've heard about this from... This made my list because I listened to... I'm going to say the wrong one. Beyond the Darkness podcast. I don't listen to it anymore. It doesn't matter. We can get into that later.
Darkness Radio?
Darkness Radio. Beyond the Darkness. Either or. The author came on and talked about it. I cannot recall the episode or what they talked about. So maybe that should be a red flag. But I did write down this book, add it to my list of two reads after listening to that episode. So... hopefully it's good. The little description on Google Books says, "The rugged and lonely Ozark Mountains of Missouri and Arkansas hold many secrets. Buried treasures and lost mines are just a few of them. From stacks of Spanish silver and gold bars, the lost silver mines, to hidden outlaw loots and the tales of buried and lost riches are abundant in the folklore of the Ozarks." Yeah, so I think it's more like it's just about this guy that explored them and then just wrote about his experiences, so not fiction. Do they have on here what type of book it is? No?
I don't know.
We haven't found... title, author, publisher, length. Oh, I get Bud Steed is the author. So, if you're interested in listening to that, it sounds more... I don't know what the genre would be. Exploration? Real life? I don't know. But,
Nonfiction?
Nonfiction. Like I said, I don't recall the episode. I don't recall anything about it, but it made my to-read list. So, hopefully it's good. That'll be the next one we read if anyone wants to join. But if not, I've been Panda.
I've been Brady.
And we can't wait to talk to you next time.
And we love you.